And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line now by David Cullinan, TD for Sinn Féin, Communications, Climate Action and Environment, running as a candidate in the Waterford City and County election. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm very good.
Good. Thank you for taking time to talk to us today. Now, obviously, you were first elected in 2016 at the election and previously a senator for the Labour panel. Can you tell us about your past year or so and some of the challenges you've faced therein?
Well, I've been involved in politics for over 20 years. I first contested politics in 2002 in the general election. I was elected to Waterford City and County Council in 2004. I served in the Shannon from 2011 for a term, and then I was elected to the Dáil in the last general election. And over the course of that 4.5 years, obviously it's up to the people of Waterford to pass judgment on whether or not I've done a good job. I believe that I've been a very effective TD in opposition. I've raised issues that I feel are important to people, not just in Waterford City, but right across the constituency. The decline of rural villages, the closing of Garda stations and post offices in villages and towns, the need to support family farms and family farmers, the vibrancy of communities in West Waterford as well as Waterford City, public transport and all of those issues. And of course then the big challenges of health and housing, which are rural issues as well as urban issues. So I think I've done my best. It's up obviously to the electors to make and pass that judgment. Every candidate will put forward their stall and their policies. I'm standing on my record over the last 4.5 years, but I'm also standing on a platform that I want to deliver for Waterford. I want Sinn Féin to be in government. I would hope to be a driver in that government if I was in a position to do so. And I want to see Waterford on the front foot, the same way as Cork, Limerick, Galway and Dublin have seen investment in recent times. I don't think Waterford has seen that level of investment that those counties have. And I want to see Waterford in the front seat as an equal city, a regional city. And I want to play a part in making that happen.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, the election is in less than a couple of weeks now. Now, there are some quite specific problems as well based in the Waterford that people are campaigning on as well, particularly things like cardiac care and redevelopment, the North Keys development and things like this. So what's your actual vision for Waterford as you see it?
Well, I was the first politician actually to raise the issue of cardiac services in the Shannon back in 2011. Indeed, when Leo Varadkar was Minister for Health, he took a motion that I tabled in the Shannon in 2015. And as far back as then, I was campaigning not just for a second cath lab, but also for 24/7 emergency cardiac services, which is necessary not just for people in Waterford, but people across the South East. I've also campaigned for better health services in Dungarvan and in West Waterford because I'm a firm believer in investing in primary healthcare. I think that if we have primary healthcare centres in population centres like Dungarvan, it takes the pressure off University Hospital Waterford and regional hospitals. And those primary healthcare centres could do minor traumas as well as a range of other health specialties that would take pressure off acute services. So they're priorities for me and have been. The North Keys is obviously a big development that will transform the heart of Waterford City. I'm behind that project. I've had meetings with ministers and secretary generals in departments, with other TDs as well. I want to see that happen. And I said this on a different radio station this morning as well, that when I first voted in a general election, I was 18 years of age. The issues of the need for a university for Waterford, Waterford Airport, development of the North Keys were all issues. And they're still issues. And they will be issues until we have somebody in government from a party that's in government that has the drive, the ambition and the vision to deliver, not just for Waterford City, but for the entire county. And I believe that I have that ability, I have that vision, I have that drive. And I'll be asking people in Waterford to give me their vote in this election, to send me back to Dublin with the strongest possible mandate and with an increased number of Sinn Féin TDs, allow me to be part of a new government that can deliver for the people of this constituency.
Indeed. And obviously, I think it's been passed as well for the new cath lab to go ahead. Is that correct?
Yes, and you know, one of the things that worked very effectively, and I was the initiator of this in the last Dáil term, was that the local Oireachtas members worked as one. So Paddy Coffey, who is now not contesting this, this election, who was a senator at the time, myself and Mary Butler, the Fianna Fáil TD, and Grace O'Sullivan when she was in the Senate, and John Halligan, all worked as one. And we had 7 meetings with the Minister for Health over the course of 2 years. The first 3 or 4 meetings, the Minister was not for turning on a second cath lab. And with the support of the local communities, the campaign groups, all of the protests that took place with the feet on the ground, we were eventually able to persuade him to deliver the funding for a second lab. That's now gone. It's at planning application stage. We hope the planning will be granted in the next couple of weeks and that work can actually begin to build it this year. And the big challenge there will be to resource that unit to transition to a 24/7 service. That means hiring the cardiologists and the nurses and the staff to make that happen. And obviously that will mean we will need, I think, strong voices in government that can make that happen over the course of the next number of months and years.
Indeed. And given that the government have actually imposed just under $3.5 million in cuts for Waterford, how's that going to impact on what you guys are trying to achieve?
Well, obviously, government cuts to Waterford is something that shouldn't happen. And if you look at what happened even on Waterford City and County Council, where Cork Council got €15 million increase in investment over the next 5 years. Waterford City had its funding cut. Waterford City and County, sorry, had its funding cut by €14.5 million. Waterford doesn't need a cut in investment. Waterford needs support. And a lot of people are looking at what's happening in Waterford and they see that Limerick and Galway are moving ahead. They're getting the investment. We're still without a university. We're still without key infrastructure. And what we need, in my view, is a government that's committed to building regional cities. And we in Sinn Féin see, yes, Cork, Limerick and Galway and Dublin are very important, but Waterford is crucial to the South East. The South East can't be left behind. And Waterford has to be seen as the engine of growth, not just for the city in Waterford, but for Waterford County and indeed the South East. And that means giving Waterford the tools that it needs, the investment that it needs to drive on. And that has to be a key priority, you know, for any government over the next, not just 5 years, we have to look to the next 10 and 20 years.
Indeed.
And look at what Waterford and what the region needs to grow the population, to create the solid jobs which are necessary and deliver the infrastructure.
Indeed. Given that one of the big issues, or one of two big issues, I guess, in Ireland today is housing, the lack of will or desire to fix the housing, is that genuine?
Well, first of all, we've had successive Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael governments since the foundation of the state. And there are, of course, decent people who vote for both of those parties. I'm detecting on the ground, right across Waterford, people are sick and tired of those parties making promises before elections and then not delivering. We've had a housing crisis, not just over the last couple of years. We've had it since Fianna Fáil were in government and they stopped building council housing. They stopped building affordable homes. And there are young families probably listening to this programme who want to own their own home and don't have the opportunity to do so because we're not building the affordable homes as well as the affordable rental homes and the council homes which are necessary. And what we in Sinn Féin want to do is to stop talking about housing. We've had endless debates on the Dáil of the housing crisis. We need to start delivering and we want to deliver the most ambitious, the most radical public and affordable housing programme this state has ever seen. And we would use the money which is being transferred from NAMA that the government wants to pay down the debt on. We want to use that money, which is about €4 billion, to build the homes that people need over the next 5 years. And I don't want to be part of a new Dáil that every second week is endlessly having debates on a housing crisis. Mm-hmm. I want to be part of a government that's building the homes that people need.
So money that was effectively taken from the people in the first place for NAMA, now redistributed back to help those who are on the housing list and the homeless.
Well, NAMA, of course, is still going to cost us money because we had massive write-downs on the assets that were transferred into NAMA, but it is in surplus. It's planned this year to transfer €2 billion to the government, and the government are saying that they will use that to write down debt. We believe that, yes, the debt needs to be managed, but we need to invest in housing
and
if
people.
We're serious about dealing with the issue. What you hear from the other parties is that they will say they promise tax cuts and promise all sorts of things on the one hand, but also deliver on housing and health. They haven't done so, and I don't believe that they can do it. Unless you are prepared to invest in housing, we're going to continue to have a housing crisis. So we believe it's more prudent and better for the economy, actually, because we have people paying massive rents, huge rents, which they can't afford to pay. We need to build the homes that people need. And I believe it's sensible, it's prudent, and it's what's necessary to use that money to build the affordable homes, the affordable rental homes, and the council homes that people need.
So should the council be in charge of that or some private developers?
Well, we would prefer to see public housing programmes. Obviously, we also need to see private investment as well. We're not a private investment in housing. But what we are against is almost what we've seen over the last 20 years, all housing being delivered by the private sector. In fact, if you look at schemes like the rental accommodation scheme and the housing assist programme, €600 million of taxpayers' money every year is transferred from the state into the pockets of landlords to subsidise people who really should be in council houses, and some of those people who could, if they were given the opportunity, be in a position to buy affordable homes. I'm not in the business of using taxpayers' money to make private individuals wealthier. I'm in the business of providing for families and for workers who deserve a roof over their head, not stuck in private rented accommodation. And we would take a completely different approach. Private developers can build private homes with their money, and that's what they should do. Taxpayers' money should be used to provide public housing, affordable homes for people who need them, and that's what Sinn Féin's priority would be.
Indeed. Now, with ever-increasing waiting lists in the hospitals and patients on trolleys, corridors, etc., understaffing and emergency department overcrowding, has enough been done?
Well, I think the vast majority of people listening to your programme would say no, because health is one of the big issues in this campaign. And it's so important for everybody that we have proper, accessible health services. I believe in the concept of an Irish National Health Service. If you look across the water at the NHS, and it's a free health service, people have better health services and they have better health outcomes. There's a lot of working people who pay private health insurance and pay three times for healthcare. They pay through their taxes, they're paying universal social charge, they're paying PRSI, then they pay private health insurance and still have to pay to see a doctor or if they go to hospital. So there's something fundamentally wrong. And one of the problems in healthcare is that we have far too many layers of bureaucracy and management. We have the department, we have the HSE, we have hospital groups, we have hospital management. We need a single tier of accountability. And then we need to use the resources that are being put into healthcare, into the front line, to deliver the healthcare that we need. And as somebody who has relentlessly raised issues in relation to the hospital, I know where the gaps are at University Hospital Waterford, but I also want to see investment in community health infrastructure in places like West Waterford, in Tallow, and in population centres that can justify primary healthcare centres, that can deliver locally as much as we can healthcare, and then build up your specialty services in your regional hospital, which is University Hospital Waterford.
Indeed, yeah. And I mean, these issues are issues within health services areas around the whole country as well, and we, particularly with understaffing as well. And the National Service Plan does not address any of these, according to the consultants. So, you know, presumably there's going to be a fight on someone's hands there as well to get that corrected. Well,
And there will be, and there's always a battle between healthcare professionals and the government in terms of resources. But what you need is a government that has a vision that can transform our health services to a two-tier service, to a national health service that works for citizens. In University Hospital Waterford, there was a new wing built, the Dunmore Wing. And if you pass the hospital driving out to Dunmore, you'll see the wing, which is home to the first two floors, will provide palliative care services for the first time in the southeast, which I welcome, and it's a fantastic addition. The next three floors are home to 72 acute beds, and they're single isolation beds of a top quality. 50 of those beds are closed. They've never been opened because they don't have the staff to open them. Now, that's not a way to run our health services, that you have a building, a state-of-the-art building, the taxpayers paid for, and indeed some of the money came from fundraising from local communities. And yet we have 50 empty beds when you have people lying on trolleys and people waiting record times to get into the hospital. They're the problems that we need to fix. And that comes from, as I said, having a single tier of accountability, much greater transparency in terms of healthcare, and then increasing spend in healthcare into the front line and not in needless layers of management, which I don't believe is delivering the health services that people need.
No, indeed. I don't think I can argue with that, David. Now, you know, I've spoken to many of the candidates as well over the past week or so, and, you know, they've all spoken as well about action on climate change, emissions, and Ireland's, I guess, carbon footprint and the whole picture as well. Do we have basically the infrastructure to help us do what we need to do?
Absolutely not. And one of the core things that we have to do is to view climate change not from the perspective of increasing taxes on people. And that's what this government has done with focusing on increasing carbon taxes. You have to win people's hearts and minds over to reducing their carbon footprint. People want to be responsible, and people are responsible. But people can't afford to buy electric cars. The vast majority are not in the position to buy a new electric car. You know that there are many, many villages and towns in West Waterford and East Cork which don't even have a bus service going through them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do. We need to put the investment in first. We want to double the investment into local links like the Dacia link, for example, to build the public transport network that enables people to have alternatives. The same with people's homes. The vast majority of people's homes are heated through oil or gas. They can't afford to do the deep retrofits and having things like electric pumps and electric heating systems. That may come in time, and that will mean grants being made available. That will take about 20 years, at least, if we're all being honest, to make that happen. So what we need to do is to be realistic and start where we can, which is when we're building new homes, build them to the highest energy rating. When we're looking at retrofitting, start with older people who will need heating most, and then move on to others. And more importantly, invest in public transport, invest in rail, and invest in the real alternatives that people need. Because if you provide alternatives, people will use them. If your starting point is you tax people and the alternatives are not there, I think it has the potential to serve people in relation to climate action. That's what we don't need to do, because we do need to meet our targets. We do need to reduce our carbon emissions. And we can do it through greater afforestation, through investment in wind energy and solar energy and all of the renewables that we need to do. But we also need to provide individuals with real alternatives. And that can only be brought about if we make the investments.
Indeed, and that's what it will take as well, just to get the investment in there, just to get everything, essentially all your ducks lined up before you go telling people to change things. Now, one of the other big issues as well, just two more here, the insurance industry, have they been fleecing us for years?
Well, I think if anybody has been looking at what's happening over the last 6 months in the Finance Committee and the Oireachtas, Pierce Doherty, the Sinn Féin finance spokesperson,
indeed,
has led the way in taking on the insurance cartels and in demonstrating to them, and in very clear terms and forthright terms, that claims have gone down and prices have gone up. And there is a cartel operating in this country in relation to insurance. And what people are paying is an absolute disgrace. Just before the election was called, for the first time actually in the history of the state, an opposition party, through Pierce Doherty, got a bill through all stages of the Dáil, and it was signed by the President, to regulate and properly regulate the insurance industry. There are still levies that are being imposed on people as a consequence of the collapse of the Celtic Tiger, if you remember, mm-hmm, the Quinn Insurance Group,
yes,
and that collapsed levies. We want those levies abolished, and we want to give insurers a break. But we also need to tackle the big insurance cartels and the big insurance companies who, in my view, are fleecing people. Yes, we also need to do, if there is a culture in the country of people claiming that they shouldn't be, that also needs to be dealt with. But I think what we're seeing is a lot of the insurance companies hiding behind this, hiking up premiums.
Quantities, yeah.
Businesses.
I think it was proven that the figures that they were quoting didn't actually exist.
Yes, and they were caught out quite badly, not just by Pierce Doherty, but he led the way, but by others as well. And in fairness to the minister in Wexford, Minister Darcy, who has responsibility for dealing with this issue, he commended Pierce Doherty and Sinn Féin for forcing this issue, taking on the insurance industry and putting forward clear solutions. So that will be one of our priorities in government. If Sinn Féin is in government, let there be no doubt whatsoever that we will take on the insurance industry. We will make them reduce premiums. We will bring in legislation where it's necessary. And we will once and for all be able to reduce premiums for people, because people are being fleeced, in my view, not just individuals, but businesses. And it's creating a real problem for the Irish economy.
Indeed, also. And not just for the motorists, it has to be said, the childcare and early years education as well. So, further issues in those areas as well. Now, obviously, there's the suggestion going through, not a suggestion, it's going through raising people's pension age to 67 and then up to 68 in 2028. Is that fair on people who have worked all their lives and expect to retire happily on a decent pension?
Somebody who worked in construction all your life, if you're somebody who is a carer, and it's a very difficult and demanding job, if you're somebody who worked, for example, in a Garda Síochána, if you're somebody who worked three shifts in a factory, and you say to that person who paid their tax, who paid their USE, their PRSI, and say to them that they have to work until they're 68, I don't believe that's fair. And this was something that was brought in by Fianna Fáil and by the Green Party when they signed what was at the time a memorandum of understanding with the Troika.
Yeah.
Then the new government came in with Labour and Fine Gael. It was John Burton who first introduced this. We in Sinn Féin opposed it. We opposed it in the Dáil and we've opposed it ever since. And the cost of returning that pension to all at 65 is 380 million. And we have said, and we'll publish our manifesto tomorrow, that we would fund that through the surplus that's in the social insurance fund. That insurance fund, which is the money that comes from PRSI, is in surplus of about 1.2 billion. We would use 380 million of that to bring it back to 65 because we believe it's fair.
Now, wasn't back in 2010 there was 20 billion taken out of the pension pot?
And that money wasn't given to individuals. That 20 billion euro was put into the banks.
The banks.
And if you remember at the time, we were told that that was a rainy day fund for citizens. If there was a downturn in the economy, the money would be there then to ensure that we wouldn't have the type of harsh measures that then had to be brought in. But what happened in this state? The National Pension Fund was essentially emptied to invest money into what were bad banks who had acted recklessly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legacy issue of the Celtic Tiger. That was the responsibility of those parties that were in government. But the Social Insurance Fund is a different fund, and that's the ongoing fund where your PRSI contributions go into. And that covers pensions. It also covers some social welfare payments and redundancy payments. That's in surplus of 1.2 billion. And we want to use 380 million euro of that, which we believe is the right thing to do, to make sure the pension age is available to all those at 65. And for those who want to work beyond that, it should be a choice. Some people want to work beyond that, and that's fair enough, and that should be a choice available to them. But we're not in favour of mandatory retirement, and nor are we in favour of people at the age of 66 or 67 having to sign on for job seekers' benefit. I don't believe that's fair on them, and I believe people have an entitlement if they paid their taxes and worked hard to retire at 65.
Indeed, and as they have an entitlement if they wish to carry on working as well, but that's a different matter altogether as well. That's down to the individual, I guess. Now, the IMF, the managing director of the IMF, Kristalina Georgieva, said that Ireland should introduce a millionaire's tax and tackle inequality. Sinn Féin in favour of that?
Well, we're the only party that has put forward the proposition of a wealth tax, and we've been ridiculed by successive ministers for finance and successive governments. It's now becoming more popular because if you really want to tackle inequalities in Ireland or anywhere in the world, you have to tax people on a fair basis. I'm not in the business of taxing people unfairly, and we proposed a wealth tax of 1% of any income, any wealth in excess of 1 million euro. I believe that's fair. We've also proposed a 5% levy on people who earn over 140,000 euro a year. And that 5% would only kick in on every euro above 140,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a reasonable ask at this point in time to raise that bit extra which is necessary to provide additional services. We also, for example, want to see the banks pay their fair share. And people were scandalised to find out in recent years that the three pillar banks, the permanent TSB, Bank of Ireland and Allied Irish Bank, made 2 billion euro last year and paid no tax whatsoever. We want them to pay their corporation.
That's corporation tax. But, yeah.
Yes, that would raise about 300 million euro. That 5% levy on those who earn over 140,000 euro would raise 600 million euro. So these individual measures, in my view, are not radical taxes. They won't damage the economy, but they are necessary if we're genuinely committed to dealing with inequality and making the investments in public services. If we don't do that, then in the next election in 5 years' time, we'll still be talking about the problems in health, the problems in housing, and they'll have got worse. I don't want to see that, and I'm prepared to ask those with the deepest pockets to pay a bit more, to pay for the public services that are necessary, and to put money back into the pockets of hardworking families who need it through abolishing the universal social charge for the first 30,000 on all incomes. And I believe those type of measures are fair, and I'd be asking people, as I am on the doorsteps, to endorse that when they go and vote on the 8th of February.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, there's going to be there's yourself, and you said earlier on, Mary, as well, the sitting TDs in Waterford. Now, it's going to be fairly open. I think it's about 13 candidates running, is there?
There's 11 candidates.
11, is it? Yes, 13 in Corkies, beg your pardon, yeah. So it's anyone's game for the rest of the places?
Well, listen, I said at the very start of the campaign and from the very outset that I was going to run a very clean campaign, and I wanted to focus on the future. I wasn't going to personally criticise any candidate or engage in negative campaigning against any party. Mm-hmm. I genuinely wish all of the other 10 candidates well.
Which has been done.
People. Yep. They all have their own vision. Politics is a very tough game, and I commend anybody that gets involved in politics and puts their name on the ballot paper. Of course, I'll go toe-to-toe with any party on their policies. But when it comes to individuals, they're all decent people. So my job, of course, is to maximise the vote for me and for Sinn Féin, and that's what I'll do. And it's then up to the electorate to decide who should fill the other three seats. But I certainly will be trying to get the strongest possible mandate I can get for Sinn Féin in this election, and that's my responsibility as a candidate in this election.
Fantastic. David Cullinan, Sinn Féin TD, thank you very much for talking to me. I really appreciate your time.
Salam.
Take care.